In this episode, episode 79 of the Daily Hustle, we talk about the 7 reasons thinking and being big is so hard so that you know what you have to do to overcome these sort of thoughts. Also, we talk about the Roman Emperor and what he might say on his deathbed.
Broadcasting from the Box That Rocks and Thrive15.com World Headquarters, it's the Daily Hustle with Daniel McKenna.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into episode 79 of the Daily Hustle. Over to my left, Marshall F. Morris. Over here, Daniel McKenna. Today we are talking about the 7 reasons thinking and being big is so hard. 7 reasons thinking and being big is so hard. Marshall, how are you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Actually, just celebrating the publishing of my new book, Call Your Leads.
Your second book?
My second book.
Second book, Call Your Leads.
Call Your Leads, 101 Tips to Improve Sales.
What kind of guarantee can you give the people at home that would read this book? What will it do for their sales organizations, their sales force, their sales team? What will this do for them?
I will say that if you do these tips in here...
How many of the tips do... Are there 101?
101.
How many of the tips do I need to do to take advantage of this book?
You need to do at least one of them.
Only one?
At least one.
Okay.
At least one. And, you know, if you want a raise, call your leads.
Tip 18. Okay, what's give me a tip 40, 40, give me tip 41.
41, okay.
Tip 41.
Tip 41. The hardest part about calling your leads is starting to call your leads. Mark Twain says, the secret of getting ahead is getting started.
That's good. How about tip 74? Tip 74.
74, here, let me give you.
Give me tip 74.
74. Okay. Tip 74, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting somebody else to call your leads. John Wooden says, failure isn't fatal, but failure to change might be.
Where can we find this book? Where can we find this Call Your Leads book?
You find this book on Amazon.com. You just Amazon.com it.
Marshall Morris, Steve Currington, Call Your Leads. We might even talk about that a little bit more in this episode. We'll see.
We'll see. Probably will.
Okay. Today we're talking about the 7 reasons thinking and being big is so hard. This is episode 79. So of course, I've got some great information here about the number 79.
I'm excited.
I know you are. Did you know the number of bricks on the $1 note, the pyramid, there's 79 bricks.
Wow.
Did you know? The atomic number of the chemical element gold is 79.
79, AU. Oh, wow, you really can count them.
Both Sam and Marshall have $1 bills out going like, nah, I don't believe him, whatever. There really is.
Sam, can you get this for the viewers? If you're podcasting, you can actually view this on YouTube. But yeah, you can actually count them, the bricks on the pyramid.
79. Did you know?
Oh, there's more.
There's one more. Did you know? In 79 AD, Roman Emperor Vespasian. I'm positive I'm mispronouncing that.
I actually felt really good about you pronouncing that
one.
Yeah,
you felt good about that one?
Yeah, I did.
Vespasian, Roman Emperor, dies of fever. Back when fever would kill people all the time. Dies of fever. His last words on his deathbed are... I think I'm turning into a god. No, bro. You just got a really bad fever. nah, bro. You just really, really have a really bad fever.
I mean, part of me is, that's kind of like sweet. People are like, because you like say that nowadays, that was year 79, yeah. Right? But, like, what if you said that now? I'm turning into a god. they don't know that you're, you know, maybe you are.
Maybe back then people believed him.
Maybe they did. I don't think they did.
So yeah, so there's that. There's that, 79. Okay, Marshall, we're going to get into seven reasons here. Seven reasons before we jump in here. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, we'll go to reason number one.
Okay. Reason number one of thinking of why thinking and being big is so hard. Reason number one, when you think and act small, you fail less often. You fail less often. Marshall, what does this say to you?
This says, in order to be big, okay, you must risk failure, okay? And likely you will fail. And Thomas Watson, founder of IBM, says the only way to increase your success rate is to double your failure rate. So the only way that you can avoid that failure is to think and act small. My main man, Aristotle.
Oh, wow.
Okay. This quote's attributed to him, allegedly. Albert Hubbard made this quote famous.
Okay, good.
Do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. And you'll never be criticized.
Oh, okay.
So, as you get into it, if you think small and act small, you'll fail less often.
Because you're like, okay, I'm just going to do this proven path that'll definitely get me to at least mediocre levels.
That's right.
But at least I won't fail as often.
That's right.
Okay. When you think and act small, you fail less often. That's why it might be hard for you to think or act big. Napoleon Hill, best-selling author, famously wrote that every noteworthy achievement met with some sort of temporary setback before success came. Saying that anything that was big that happened, that was good, there was a setback, there was some failure along the way. And every adversity has the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. Basically saying that, like, when you have adversity, there's actually some good out of it. There's actually some growing there that you can do. Maybe something you didn't see a certain way. Maybe that failure is what tuned you into what was really going to work.
That's right.
That was reason number one. Reason number two. Mediocre minds feel threatened by success, wealth, and innovation. Marshall, we talked along these lines in the Colin Powell episode. Episode 77. Great episode. One of our better episodes, I thought. So if you've not watched that, not listened to that, go back and watch that one. What are we talking about here, Marshall? Mediocre minds feel threatened by success, wealth, and innovation.
Well, mediocre minds don't want change. They want to just be surrounded and feel comfortable. So therefore, any kind of change or advancement towards a greater goal or greater success will be met with or will be seen as a threat, okay, to their level in their comfort. So therefore, the reason why being big is hard is because you're going to be threatened by success, wealth, and innovation. But if that's where you're headed, okay, if that's where you're working towards, then it's uncomfortable, but, you know, that's what you want. You want to be pushed outside of your comfort zone.
In case they did not see episode 77, Colin Powell talked about friends and even family members that you would have to basically disassociate with for the most part. Why do people around us and in our lives not get what we are doing and not really seem supportive of people that are doing this weird thing called entrepreneurship or this weird thing where they're trying to grow a business? Why do people around us not get that, and why is their feedback not something we should be worried about?
Because it's unfamiliar to them. Because they don't know why you would push yourself to be uncomfortable in lieu of massive wealth and success. They just want to be comfortable. And that's okay. If you have friends, if you have family members, they want you to be comfortable. They want the best for you. It's out of love. But they're also choking your dream.
Ouch. Wow. Albert Einstein once said, "Great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds." That was the big MC equals squared guy. I said that wrong. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Mediocre minds feel threatened by success, wealth, and innovation. Reason number three here. Books, fairy tales, movies, music, and the media have vilified wealth creation for years. For instance, Robin Hood, steal from the rich, give to the poor. In movies, it's always an evil rich man that is attempting to take over the world. The media is reporting that it's always, you know, it's greedy rich people that are causing the financial crisis. Marshall, do you see this being that this is sort of some of the culture thought here? Do you see this as having a real world effect where making excess money is seen as a negative? So much so that the pursuit of trying to create a better life for yourself is seen as like a greedy thing as opposed to a wholesome one?
Well, it is true that the media, frequently you won't see in the news, this company this week had the best sales ever in their business. They don't report on that. But that's something that's really cool. That's something that we value here at Thrive15.com. When our clients have a win, we celebrate that win because that's a real thing. They're going to be able to afford things that they never have in the past for their business and for their life. That is cool. We value that. So this is maybe in opposition as a threat to all the fake news out there. The Daily Hustle.
Fake news.
All the Daily Hustle, where you get real news. So we represent, we give news of our clients that have had massive wealth and massive success. And that's really cool. We celebrate that. Okay. Now, it is true that I would say that the rich people have been vilified as being greedy. But it's also true that we believe in the overflowing cup mentality. Abraham Lincoln said that the first step to helping the poor is to not become poor yourself. So it is, I would say, important that once you've achieved that massive wealth and massive success, you ask yourself, with the excess, what can I do for those around me to help them get to their goals or to help aid? But I cannot help people unless I have filled my cup myself.
There are instances, obviously, for sure, where, you know, business practices were not very very humanizing, where maximizing profit came at the expense of other people. Definitely happens. Definitely is true. There's also a lot of instances where entrepreneurs and business people created a lot of things that made a lot of people happy and their lives a lot better.
That's right.
Bill Gates from Microsoft. How many hundreds/thousands/tens of thousands of jobs did he create by building Microsoft into a giant company?
A lot.
Tens of thousands of people that have jobs that make them able to pay their bills because of that. Not only that, but then once he got uber rich, he started giving it all away. Fighting diseases in Africa and such.
Yeah.
So making money, creating wealth for yourself, creating an empire for yourself isn't a bad thing. Some people that do it are probably bad people, and therefore they have the resources to amplify that. But there's also good people that do it too.
True.
Okay. Reason number four. Skills pay the bills, but only ongoing practical education will ever make you rich. Marshall, from your experience working with the dozens of mentors in the Thrive 15 platform, Lee Cockrell, David Robinson, Michael Levine, Clifton Talbert, Clay Clark, Dr. Robert Zellner, Jill Donovan, and onward, and hundreds of entrepreneurs and small business owners, how do successful people keep themselves disciplined and focused throughout their career when so many people struggle simply to stay organized or to get to work on time every day?
So check this out. Skills pay the bills, but only ongoing practical education will ever make you rich. Okay? which means that if you have a skill, right now you can probably get paid for it. But if you want to achieve that massive growth, you're going to have to go all in for a long time. Robert Greene, he wrote the book called Mastery. He says, in order to become a master in something, you must do it for 10 years. Well, you think about how long 10 years is. There's going to be a lot of market trends and a lot of things that go on, industrial trends, world trends, things that happen, that over the course of 10 years, it's going to change the dynamic of that particular skill. So I did a quick Google search here, Dan. Can you believe that 10 years ago, we did not have iPhones?
That's crazy.
No iPhones 10 years ago. So that means if you started a particular skill in something before iPhones were a thing, can you imagine how the advent of the smartphone has changed whatever that skill is? I don't care what the skill is. The smartphone will have changed that.
Yeah.
Okay. But Robert Greene, he's saying 10 years. So in order to be successful in whatever it is that you're doing, you will have had to buy into ongoing practical education, learning and adapting and continuing to grow in your daily life, in your daily skills and activities and learning new things in order to be successful and massively wealthy. Because if not, if you don't adapt, you will die. Okay? You will be subject to social Darwinism. So there you go.
And nobody wants social Darwinism.
No.
That was number four. Number five. Most people do anything and everything to avoid discomfort. This one for me is the big one. of the seven points here, this one is the big one. For instance, how do you get stronger? How do you lose weight? Well, by working out. But working out makes you sore, kind of involves some energy. So people don't work out. Or they like the zero impact workouts. Or the 30 day diet. The beach body, 30 days. Or the, you know, there's the whole reason that get rich quick schemes and plans are so popular is because there's so many people that are like, yes, I would like to push that button and make money forever. That seems like a good plan. What do you got on this one here, Marshall?
That was easy. Easy button.
Yep.
I got tip number 17 from the Call Your Leads book written by Marshall Morris and Steve Currington.
Oh, wow.
You can find it on Amazon.
Okay.
Tip 17. I'm not telling you it will be easy. I'm telling you it's going to be worth it. Until then, call your leads. So, you got somebody like Michael Dell, the founder and CEO of Dell Technologies, somebody who called his leads. He says, you don't have to be a genius or a visionary or even a college graduate to be successful. You just need a framework and a dream. And to call your leads. Now, what's discomforting or uncomfortable about calling your leads?
They might say no.
In fact, there's somewhere between a 90 and 95% chance that they're going to say no.
They're almost for sure going to say no.
That's uncomfortable. So most people avoid calling their leads. It's uncomfortable to work out. Now, Dan, I'm going to give you a shameless opportunity. How much do you enjoy working out?
I don't really. Mm. Typically, after I get done working out,
yeah,
I feel good about it.
Yeah.
But I typically don't feel like excited necessarily to like go work out, go to the gym.
But you work out.
I do.
How frequently do you work out?
Probably three times a week.
Three times a week?
And then play some basketball stuff too.
And you can tell.
Well, I'm not a muscle guy for sure, but
I'm in decent shape. True or false, you had to buy some new shirts in order to accommodate your new muscles.
I did buy some new shirts, but that wasn't the only reason.
But it was one of the reasons.
It was partially a reason.
Yes! Got it documented. But you got a Tim Ferriss, he says, the amount of success in one's life can be measured by the amount, the number of uncomfortable conversations somebody is willing to have. Uncomfort, discomfort, doing the hard things is what catalyzes growth. You cannot have growth without the discomfort and uncomfortability.
Let's get a little bit deeper here in this one too. For me, reason number five is the reason why why a lot of people don't do what they say they're going to do is because there's discomfort along the way. So that's why they don't do it. It's a little bit hard. They have to plan time. They have to work longer hours, or they have to do things they wouldn't normally do to get there. But let's say you did. Let's say you did hit the easy button. Let's say you did hit that lotto. Hit that lottery. Bam. Big money. The Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards says that nearly a third of lottery winners, meaning, you know, somewhere between tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions to hundreds of millions of dollars.
It means they won a lot.
That they didn't have to work for. Put $5, $10, $20 down at the gas station. Now all of a sudden they're multimillionaires. Says that a third of them declare bankruptcy, meaning they were worse off than before they became rich. Other studies show that lottery winners frequently become estranged from family and friends and incur a greater incidence of depression, drug and alcohol abuse, divorce, and suicide than the average American. Yeah. Yeah. Marshall, why, in your opinion, does gaining all this money from something they didn't earn, right? All of a sudden, they just had all this money they didn't have before, and then for some reason, the majority of them, their life actually goes down in quality as opposed to going up. Why does this seem to ruin so many people?
For two reasons, in my opinion. One, there's no sense of achievement. Okay, the amount of work necessary in order to produce the massive results are not equal to each other. Okay, that's the first reason. So I don't feel good about it. That's the first problem. Second thing is that for the same reasons that we've talked about previously in the last couple episodes, is that the habits are not there to govern and set the parameters for the spending of that money. So somebody who doesn't have the right morals and values and ethics, and that you immediately give them money, which can catalyze just about anything that they want to do, is probably not going to be the most altruistic and wholesome spending of said money. Or effective. If they don't have money management principles, it doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money or little money, you still got to have the baseline money management principles. So there you go.
And then in a little book called The Bible, just in case you do believe the Bible is real, just in case, Proverbs 13:11, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. Just another thought there for you, just in case matter. Just in case. That was reason number five. Reason number six. Only people that stand out of the crowd get criticized. Marshall, only people that stand out of the crowd get criticized. Why would I mean, now I'm putting myself in the crosshairs of being criticized?
Again, back to my main man, Aristotle or Elbert Hubbard.
Or whichever one it was.
Whichever one.
Yeah.
Do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing, and you'll never be criticized. It's cool. If you want to avoid criticism, that is cool, but in order to do so, you must be nothing.
Now, I would say that the typical, at least competitive mindset, would say, yeah, I'm ready to take on the I'm ready for people to criticize me. I'm cool. I'm strong. Whatever. No one talks negatively about or cares to discuss the opinions of Mr. Average, right?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because they don't want to criticize Mr. Average because they themselves are Mr. Average.
So whatever everybody else is talking about, that's what they're going to be talking about?
they don't want to criticize the crowd because they themselves, the one who is them criticizing, is part of the crowd. That's why. So to criticize the crowd is to criticize themselves. So they must pick on the outlier, the person that's achieving the massive success and wealth, because they themselves could never stoop so low to say that they themselves are the problem.
Also, in general, and the recent advances in technology has made this more prevalent than ever before.
I might live to be 200 years old.
Well, that's true. That's true. That wasn't where I was going, but that's true.
Okay.
It is literally impossible to do anything big or that matters that everyone will applaud you for.
Nope.
Literally impossible.
Nope.
Whatever you do, every action you take, somebody is going to be upset about it.
That's right.
And because of technology, now everybody has a voice. Now everybody can tweet at you or put their posts on social media and share it with their friends or write a letter to the editor or everything you do, there's somebody that's going to disagree with it.
That's right.
Which means that you should not worry about that at all.
Exactly.
When we were starting the Epic business, we were working with working with DJ Connection. You're back in DJ Connection days. Epic was started in 2009. At first, nobody really in the industry really cared all that much until we started booking a bunch of stuff.
Mm.
Then once we started booking a bunch of stuff, then all the other photographers got together and started talking to all the other venues, all the other cake people, talking about, well, they're just a bunch of DJs. There's a bunch of DJs. They can't take photos. I heard that they miss weddings. I heard that.
That's what they heard.
That's what they heard.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, the people that we were competing against were, for some reason, very anti us all of a sudden, now that we started having a little bit of success. At that time, I don't think I get everything right for sure. But at that time, I felt like I got this one right. At that time, my statement was, well, I feel like you're not really doing anything until people start like being against you. Like until your competition's like anti you, like verbally criticizing you, until you're doing that, you're not really like doing enough to where it matters.
That's right.
Started taking their pie, drinking their milkshake.
Scarcity mentality.
That's right.
Drinking their milkshake?
Yeah, drinking their milkshake.
Sticking your straw into their milkshake.
They had their milkshake and we were like, bam, here we are. Bam.
What kind of milkshake?
All kinds of milkshake. Whatever milkshake you got.
Cookies and cream.
Doesn't matter what kind of milkshake you got. I'm going to drink it.
Strawberry.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
So until you're doing stuff that where your competition will want to criticize you for it, you probably aren't big enough to where it matters yet. And that's why... Reason number six, why it's hard to be big or think big, that only people that stand out of the crowd get criticized. Reason number seven, Marshall. Reason number seven, being successful requires one to be a little bit weird, a little bit odd.
Yep.
Success is not common. It takes abnormal behavior to be successful. Talk about this here. What does this say to you? What does this bring up to you?
Success is not common, so therefore the process of getting to success is not common. So therefore you must contradict, and by the sheer nature of contradicting what most of society does, it's going to make you appear to be weird. People are going to be like, are you sure? You know, I don't know about that. That's a little bit, that's on the fringe. I don't think we should associate with that. That's abnormal. We shouldn't be doing that. In order to get to success, you're going to have to go through that period of, that guy's a little weird. Elon Musk, that guy's a little weird. Steve Jobs, that guy's a little bit not fun to be around. Don't like him. You're going to have to go through that period. People that are going to contradict what you believe.
What kind of weird behavior might it take for you to become successful? What kind of odd, strange, different, weird behavior might you have to go through to reach what you are trying to reach?
I would say things like studying your craft. getting better at what you do. Hey, Ryan Tedder of One Republic, do you want to come out to this party? No, I want to sit in my room and play the guitar. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, you're weird. Well, okay. But he knew that he had to spend time studying his craft. Okay? Walt Disney, studying his craft, got a job working in an ambulance in painting his Mickey Mouse up at the top of the ambulance. If you have never seen Walt Disney's first Mickey Mouse, it is terrible. It is really, really bad. Very bad. He was a terrible artist. So studying your craft, that's a little bit weird. Putting yourself and your business out there more often than what one might consider comfortable. You got to put it out there.
Putting yourself out there.
If you're awesome and you don't tell anyone, then what are we talking about here? If you can never like put yourself out there to be uncomfortable, then, I mean, I can't help you.
Not only that, but I think you're going to have to go through a time of putting yourself out there where you're not awesome in order to have the amount of opportunities you need to become awesome.
That's right.
I think you might be like an okay carpet cleaner, and then you'd be like, hey, hire me. I'm an awesome carpet cleaner. Hire me. And then you're like messing up people's carpets.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to take those reps, those opportunities to actually become an awesome carpet cleaner.
In order to be successful in sales and earn that top sales commission, you're going to have to go through a period of people saying, no, stop calling me. No, stop calling me. No, take me off your list. No, no, I hate you. No, I hate everything that you stand for. No, I hate your kind. What kind? The human kind that calls people. What? It's just like you're going to have to go through that period. You got to call your leads, which brings me to my next tip. Here you go. Tip 33.
Yeah, tip 33. Okay. Yeah, that one's a good one.
Yep. Tip 33. If you just got hung up on, call your leads.
So somewhere out there, people are, you know, getting hung up on. They're like, this sucks. This isn't working. It's time for me to go do something else.
That's right.
Or it's time for me to hang out and pretend I'm talking to people on the phone all day, so therefore I can still get paid, but I would rather not call anybody because that's, you know, people are saying no.
Yeah. There you go.
Because that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it really does. It's crazy. Back at DJ Connection. The awesome thing about DJ Connection was it was so early on in the whole business building, you know, thing. There's so many crazy stories that it's very entertaining now. Back at DJ Connection, there was a minimum. You had to make 100 sales calls a day. So we had lists of people to call. We had leads that would come in. We'd call them. But if you didn't have enough leads, you just call through lists of bridal fair lists or whatever. Well, that's not necessarily the most effective way to like book stuff. You might call through 100 people and then set like 3 appointments, and then maybe you book one of them, right? And this was normal.
Right.
So, you know, especially if you're not good at it, calling people all day long maybe isn't that fun. But you still got to do it to get paid.
You want to know what's more discouraging? What's a less effective lead list that I know that DJ Connection or some other company that may be working in the wedding entertainment industry is once done?
What's that?
The lead list that is the phone book.
Yeah.
We've called through the bridal list. Okay, great. You need a new list? Okay, there's a phone book over there. Start calling. And weirdly enough, it's taken a lot of no's. But I know this company books stuff from just calling the phone book. You need a lead list? Start calling the phone book.
So these guys at DJ Connection, knowing that they had to make this amount of calls, would literally call the same number. They'd find out a number that was like didn't work, that there was nobody on the other end.
Yeah, I remember this story.
And they would call that number, tick, 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 sit on the phone like they're waiting, maybe even leave a voicemail to nothing. Hey guys, this is Curtis Tucker over here over at DJ Connection. Wanted to see if you wanted a DJ. Oh, you don't need a DJ? All right, cool. Hang up. Waiting for the phone to ring, waiting for somebody to, you know, come give him some money.
Waiting for that elusive unicorn of person that wants to call you just to give you money.
And if the phone didn't ring right away, then you just go ahead and dial that fake number again. Because I don't want to make actual calls because people might tell me no. So I'm going to dial this fake number over and over and pretend I'm calling people. So good. I'm sure that never happened to anybody else anywhere.
Nope. Never.
Those were seven reasons why thinking and being big is so hard. Marshall, any closing thoughts here? Any closing tips? Any closing, you know, anything closing plugs? Any closing thoughts here you want to have for the people that are listening or watching this right now?
I want to give somebody a teaser from the second chapter of the book.
Go on.
Okay. And it's tip number 73. Okay. It's tip 73.
Yeah, I didn't ask you about that one. I forgot to ask you about tip 73.
You miss 100% of the appointments you don't set. Call your leads.
So good.
Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the number one personal finance book of all time. He says, winners are not afraid of losing, but losers are. Wait, hold on. Winners are not afraid of losing, but losers are. Failure is part of the process of success. People who avoid failure also avoid success. That's my capstone thought.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a good one. Over there to my left, Marshall F. Morris over here, Daniel McKenna. That was episode 79 of The Daily Hustle. We will see you next time for the big 8-0. Until then, kaboom.